Unity in the community. And I know that rhymes, but that doesn't mean it always works. Unity in the community. Is there unity in the community? Is there unity in our family of God? Now, united and unity are similar, but they can be different things. I saw in a book this week that if you tie two chickens together by their legs, and then you throw them over a clothesline, those chickens are going to be united, but they're not going to have unity. So let's think about that image right there. Some chickens tied together by the leg. They're united in what they're doing, and they're suffering, but they are not experiencing unity. And so today we're going to be talking about, or I'm going to be sharing about unity in the community, and specifically community in our family of God, and being not just united, but having unity. And so we're going to be finishing the series of letters from John. And in this series so far, we've seen a lot about what John, the Apostle John, is communicating to the Christians in home churches, but we can also, it applies to us. It's in the Word of God. And so we've seen that the first part of 1 John was about that God is light and there's no darkness in Him. And the second part of 1 John was that the message that they've heard from the beginning, that God is love. And we should love one another. And then we saw kind of near the end of 1 John that faith in Jesus is marked by a life of victory and love. And a few weeks ago, we saw that eternal life is found only in Jesus, the true Son of God. And then last week, we looked into 2 John. This is a small letter right after 1 John. But 2 John, we saw that while walking in God's truth and love, let's watch out for deceivers. There's people that are not preaching the gospel of Jesus and are trying to divide. They're trying to cause division. They're trying to take people away from what is God's truth. And so we saw that living as Jesus did means His followers would walk in God's truth by abiding in Him, by walking in God's love, by obeying His commands, and also that we need to watch out for deceivers who are running from a true teaching of God. So today we're going to be finishing this and we're looking at 3 John, and it is again a short letter, and so we're going to cover it just today. But the main idea today is that unity is essential in the family of God. So our main idea for 3 John is that unity is essential in the family of God. Not just being united, but having unity. And you know, unity is part of community in that word, community, but it is essential. We can't do without it as in the family of God. All right, so let's turn to 3 John. So 3 John starts out this way. 3 John verse 1 says, "The elder, my dear friend Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. It gave me great joy when some of you believers came and testified about your faithfulness to the truth, telling how you are continuing to walk in it. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth." All right, so let's look at what's happening here. So again, John, we believe that he is the same John that was an apostle, the John that was that wrote the book of John. He wrote 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and also Revelation. He was the disciple that was walking and talking and in ministry with Jesus. He was the disciple that also lived the longest, as the other disciples were martyred at a much earlier age. And so this John he is calling himself now the elder. And I showed you last week from the Bible Project an image, and I'll show it to you again. And this image is kind of giving us this idea of who the author is and what the crisis is happening in the 1st and 2nd and 3rd John. So let's put that on the screen. And so it's showing that John is the apostle, John is the elder, John is the author of this, and he's writing from most likely Ephesus, and he's writing to churches, to home churches, to house churches, churches that are smaller. And in this case, we find that he's addressing it to his dear friend Gaius, and who is probably a church pastor or church leader in one of the home churches. And so he's going to be addressing something specifically with this church. And we can see there's this crisis where there's people going out from the church, and they're saying, and on this it has, cross doesn't equal a crown. So they're saying that Jesus was man or God, but he can't be both. He can't be both. And so this was false teaching, and John talked a lot about that in 1 John, and then we saw in 2 John. And so this is kind of the crisis that's happening. And in 2 John, we saw that John told the believers, don't welcome these people in your house. There's traveling evangelists that are coming, and they want to stay here. And when you let them stay with you, you're kind of opening the door to their false teaching. So don't even give them a welcome. So now, in 3 John, he's kind of almost addressing the opposite, where he's saying, we're going to be seeing here in 3 John the opposite, because he's saying if someone is walking in the truth and they are saying that Jesus is both God and man, that he is the true God, then let's welcome people. Let's partner in that way. And so And so our first point today is that to be united in the family of God, we must walk together in truth. So we need to be walking together in the truth as we experience the family of God together. Being united means the big part last week in 2 John was about truth, 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 truth. And so now he's talking again in this first part of this letter about truth. You know, I this man who I love in the truth that's leading you, and there's believers that have come and testified and giving faithfulness to the truth, and they're walking in the truth, and he says that there's no greater joy than his children or the believers there are walking in the truth. You know, as I wonder, you know, as a parent, I'm a parent, and I think, you know, when I see my kids getting something, they're understanding it, that makes me proud and excited. And John is saying there's no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. I wonder when you send your kids off to the college or off to the real world, and you find out reports from them that they're making good choices, and they're using wisdom, and they're walking in God's truth. That's going to bring you great joy. And that's what John's saying here. He's not just talking about like his kids, but he's talking in this family of God that it brings great joy to hear that they're walking in the truth. And so being united, having unity in a family of God, we must walk together in that truth, the truth of God, and not bend what the truth is, but hold fast to the truth. So we're going to continue in verse 5. Of 3 John. And verse 5 says, dear friend, you are faithful in what you're doing. And faithful in what you're doing for the brothers and sisters, even though they are strangers to you. They have told the church about your love. Please send them on their way in a manner that honors God. It was for the sake of the name that they went out, receiving no help from pagans or Gentiles. We ought to therefore show hospitality to such people so that we may work together for the truth. Verse 9 says, now it gets into kind of who he's going to address here. He's saying, I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to be first, will not welcome us. So when I come, I will call attention to what he is doing, spreading malicious nonsense about us. Not satisfied with that, he even refuses to welcome other believers. He also stops those who want to do so and puts them out of the church. All right, so there's this problem. This problem is that the church is doing a good thing. I mean, in verse 4 it says, you're faithful in what you're doing. Well, what are they doing? Well, it kind of shows us that they're giving hospitality to even people that are strangers. But they're not just strangers. They are brothers and sisters in Christ. So, in this little image here from the Bible Project, it's showing now for this one that if cross equals crown, so if they are proclaiming Jesus as God and man, the Savior of the world, then they're saying, okay, we're partnering with you. We're your brothers and sisters in Christ. We're in the family. But then we're finding out that don't be like someone that's against them. All right, and so our second point today is to be united in the family of God, we must partner together in the work of the gospel. We must partner together in the work of the gospel. So even if it's people that aren't in our congregation, even if it's people that are on the other side of the world, or they're sitting right next to you, if they are in Christ, we must partner together because we're a family of God. We must work together for the work of the gospel. And so he's admonishing, he's telling them that we are in the sake of the name of Jesus. They went out and they didn't receive help from any other people other than Christians. So you guys are the ones that are showing hospitality and working together. But he mentions in verses 9 and 10 about this problem. And there is someone that wants to be first. There's someone that's not welcoming us. Someone that's saying, I don't care what this John is writing about. I don't care if he even comes. This is not how it's going to happen. We're not going to welcome strangers. We're not going to use our resources for people we don't even know. You know, I don't know why he thought this way, but he was. He was not letting the Christians be welcomed. And we're going to watch a clip from our last part of Right Now Media, this series that we're going through in the letters from John. And it's from Dr. Tony Evans. So he's talking about this problem here in verses 9 and 10. Really? All right, I guess we're not going to watch it. All right, well, Dr. Tony Evans is talking about this problem of this guy. And he's saying that this man does not like what's happening. He doesn't agree with what's happening. And that this is not the attitude of gratitude that God's people should have towards God or towards his family. And he's saying that this is bringing division in the church. And when we see illegitimate division, we need to do something about it. Now, there is such thing as division that's legit. You know, if there's an error in the truth, then we need to discuss that. We need to talk about that. We need to make sure that we are getting right in the truth about God. But when there's an illegitimate division, and you see that people are rejecting God's truth, then what Tony Evans is saying about John's here is, then you know that you cannot leave this unaddressed. John has to address this. Because if it's not going to be addressed, then Satan is having his way. Because Satan is the great divider. He's the one that wants Christians to not be unified. Unity is oneness of accord. And in this clip that I wanted to show, that I guess didn't load or was probably my fault. Tony Evans is on the Dallas Cowboys football field. And he said, when, you know, there's a football team, and the goal of the football team is to score touchdowns, to get first downs, to get more points than the other team. And when the football team is lining up, and one person decides on accident, but whatever happens, they decide, they accidentally jump off sides, or they move before the ball is snapped, then the ref throws a penalty. And the penalty is in the rule book, that's right, but the whole team is penalized, not just the one player, because the team is working together in a common goal and a common purpose. And so, just like as Christians, we are working together. We are working in our family of God, working on a partnership, working to reach people for the gospel of Jesus. And the gospel of Jesus is that letting people know that there was a perfect man, God, Jesus Christ, that came down and lived a perfect life, and he experienced what it is like to be living as a human. And so he can relate to us. And this man that's also fully God, he taught us, he showed us how to live, and then he willingly went to the cross. He willingly died in our place so that we can have life in him. And so that we're thankful that Jesus is not dead. He rose victoriously from the grave, and that is the good news of Jesus. We have life in him for anyone who chooses to accept Jesus' love and walk in his commands and his obedience. And we have life in him. And we can partner with people, not just in this congregation, but around the world. We can partner with people that are reaching people for the gospel. But I want to let you know of something that we have in our congregation called the MLT. And we have a team of people that are partnering together. And this MLT is a missional leadership team. And it exists of five people. There's a minister of worship, that's Angie Beachy. And there's a minister of fellowship, that's Valerie Rogers. There's a minister of administration, that's Mike Summer. There's a ministry of discipleship, and that's Susie Oyer. And I'm excited to announce that we have a new minister, and that's a minister of mission, and that's Rich Schrock. And so these people are working together for a common purpose of sharing the gospel, reaching out and reaching in, how we can help best use our giftings and best have the congregation have vision and understanding of the gospel. You know, each of these people, they have roles. They're working on things, and we are all benefiting from them. And so I encourage you to be praying for these people. I encourage you to be supporting them, asking them questions, and seeing how we can partner together in this work of the gospel. And so our first task is that to be united, to have unity in the family of God, we must walk together in the truth. So that truth is important, God's truth. And then we need to partner together in the work of the gospel, both here and to the ends of the earth, like Jesus said. And let's see how John finishes this letter. So in verse 11, he says, "Dear friend, do not be intimidated, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. Anyone who does good is from God. Anyone who does what is evil has not seen God. Demetrius is well spoken by everyone, and even by the truth itself. We also speak well of him, and you know that our testimony is true. I have much to write you, but I do not want to do so with pen and ink. I hope to see you soon, and we'll talk face to face. Peace to you. The friends here send their greetings." Greet the friends there by name. And so here, John is kind of closing his letter, but he's not just closing it. He's saying there's an important truth here. And I want to read what it says in verse 11 in the Message translation, which says, "Friend, do not go along with evil. Model what is good. The person who does good does God's work. The person who does evil falsifies God and doesn't know the first thing about God." So he's saying, let's work together in modeling, in imitating what is good and what is from God. And so our third point today is to be united in the family of God. We must imitate God's goodness together. So as a body of believers, as a family, we need to be modeling and imitating the goodness of God. We need to be talking and proclaiming about how God is good and how we've seen His goodness. And even in rough circumstances, that we still proclaim that God is good and God is King and God is sovereign. And so John is saying, dear friend, each of these times, he's saying, beloved, beloved, beloved. He's saying, beloved, walk together in truth. Be united. Partner together in the work of the gospel. Model God's goodness together. Together, together, together. Do you hear this? Together, together, together. That's having unity in the community is the community of the family of God is being together, united in Christ for a single purpose. And in Ephesians, Paul writes about that too. And he says Ephesians 4, verse 3, it says, "Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace." So that unity of the Spirit bonds us together. It unites us together. Having unity in Christ is what we are as Christians. Not just being unified, but having unity in the community of God. And our main idea today is that unity is essential in the family of God. It is essential. We can't do without it. And if it's not happening, first of all, the devil's happy. Second of all, things are not working well. And there's going to be discord. There's going to be fights. There's going to be problems. And we're not going to be working together for the advancement of the gospel. It will not be a functioning place if there's disunity. So let's keep praying for our church and others around the world to be unified in Christ, to have that unity in the family of God. And I know here, you know, there's some discouragement that's happening in this letter. You know, John's hearing about this guy that's causing all these problems. And so in the face of this discouragement, John is thankful for this good report of these people coming in and saying that they're faithful and they're walking in the truth. And John is thankful for these good partnerships that they have in Christ. You know, there's a big contrast in the believers here. And he's thankful for the goodness of God in their lives and in our lives. And encouraging us to not imitate what is evil, but to walk in God's truth and God's goodness. And so this week, as we celebrate Thanksgiving, however you do that, let's remember to be thankful for the family of God, for those that are in Christ Jesus, and that we in our family would seek unity, and we would seek having partnerships for the advancement of the gospel, walking in truth and imitating and modeling God's goodness. Before I close, I just want to ask you this question to think about this week. Is there a specific way that we can ask ourselves that I can demonstrate an attitude of hospitality this week? So ask yourself that just for a moment as we close. Dear Lord, we thank you that you are good. We thank you that even when we might have discouragement, things aren't going the way we want, God, we can put our hope in you and trust you, and be thankful for the blessings you've given us. I pray this week as we think about and celebrate Thanksgiving that we would just continue to be thankful in all circumstances and be thankful for your blessings. Lord, I ask that we would be united and have unity in the family of God. I pray, God, that we would be walking together in your truth, not bending what your truth is, but holding fast to your truth. And God, I pray that we would be people that partner with others in the work of the gospel. And Lord, I pray that we would imitate and model your goodness to the world. And we'd be united, and that people would see the good works and the unity we have in you. And they would come to know you, Jesus. And that's our prayer. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.